Monday, July 2nd, 2012, will please come to order. The city clerk is recognized to call the roll.
Mayor Harden.
Here.
Councilor Pritchett.
Here.
Councilor Dickerson. Councilor Hebert.
Here.
Councilor Clayton.
Here.
City Manager Smith.
Here.
City Attorney Beal.
Here.
The first 15 minutes of any special meeting are set aside for public comment. If you wish to comment, please raise your hand, and when you're recognized, please come to the podium and give your name and address for the record. We ask that you speak no more than 5 minutes and that you confine your remarks to matters of city business. It's okay for more than one person to speak on the same topic, and it is okay for people who do not live in Rockland to speak, as well as people who do live in Rockland. We ask that Rockland residents speak first, if possible, but I can't always tell, so we'll just give it a go and start with, would anyone like to address the council? Mr. Betts. Oh, you don't have your hand up. I'm sorry. Yes, sir, in the front.
Hi, my name is Ron Huber. I live on Broadway, and I think the Rockland City Council will hear from residents of several different bay towns, and they'll be asking Rockland to join the governments of Stockton Harbor, Islesboro, Belfast, Lincolnville, North Haven, Rockport, and getting in touch with the town of Searsport about regional commitments that Rockland may accrue if the a certain LPG port project goes ahead. And it's pretty predictable, and it doesn't seem to have been a lot of outreach to the town of Rockland, or city of Rockland. And I just think people will be elaborating about that. But I think it's both increases in the emergency response budgets, the modifications of the regional mutual aid society, and so on. And they'll explain it in a great deal more detail, but I really hope you listen to them carefully. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, City Council people and City Manager. My name is Arch Gillies. I live on Islesboro, as do my friends here. We're all residents of Islesboro. We're all volunteers, and we're all neighbors of Rockland and the entire Midcoast region and Penobscot Bay. As I was coming over tonight, my wife said, don't forget to say how much she enjoys the shops on Main Street. And I said, well, that's true. I think only of coming to Rockland for my eye doctor and ear doctor and all the other things that you get to do when you get to my age. I'm here because the issue of the LPG tank in Searsport was brought to my attention as a town selectman on Islesboro just barely 6 weeks ago by Steve Miller, who's here. The concerns that he raised and then ultimately I learned about were serious enough that I brought it to the attention of our Board of Selectmen, who decided to register their concerns about safety, economic impact, environmental impact, and importantly, what the obligations Islesboro would have to undertake should this project go forward. And as a consequence, I am now devoting a lot of time to it, and our Board of Selectmen are keenly interested in it. They know that I'm here tonight, and we have corresponded and talked with now there are a total of 7 towns that have expressed to Searsport their concerns, and we hope that you all will decide to do the same. But here is the quick summary of the technical, if you will, some legal reasons that I got concerned about this and got involved, and I hope that you will as well. We'll start with Chuck, I think, who will scare you a little bit.
Well, I'd like to begin by pointing out, I'm sorry, I should introduce myself. My name is Chuck Vero, and I too am an Islesboro resident, and I too share the same concerns of my colleagues here tonight. I'd like to begin, and I'll keep this brief knowing your time constraints, by saying that we've heard no convincing economic argument for this particular project. Interestingly enough, I did some research and discovered that the price of propane gas in Maine, without a major terminal, is among the lowest in New England. And the highest in New England is in Rhode Island, right next to a propane facility of the type which is proposed here. So I think you should bear that in mind as you reflect on what we're asking you to do tonight. Now, this is a LPG tank. An LPG tank is a facility. According to a report we have submitted to the Corps of Engineers from Dr. James Fay of MIT, and I'll just read you what he says. The National Fire Marshal Safety Association emphasizes that LPG is more hazardous than LNG, having higher specific gravity, a greater tendency to form explosive vapor clouds, a lower minimum ignition energy, and higher fundamental burning velocities. This is persuasive opinion that LPG import terminals deserve greater security, scrutiny for public safety than would be the case with an equivalent-sized LNG facility. Now, the ironic reality is that the standards that have to be met by an LPG facility are far less important and difficult to meet than for an LNG facility. An LNG facility could not be built at this place on Sears Island. And yet, the opinions that I've read, and we have seen numerous of them, all say that an LPG facility is more hazardous. Has there been an economic study? A safety study by the participant? No. There has been none presented to date. So what we are asking is that there be a study, and that's why we're here tonight, to ask for your approval of a resolution I think Arch is going to pass around with regard to this facility. Thank you.
Steve Miller. I also live on Islesboro, and have been tracking this particular proposal in Searsport for a few months now, and we'll just try to quickly, I guess, touch on a couple of things. LPG can, in fact, cause a horrific kind of catastrophe. It has done so before. In particular, there was a 1984 explosion at a facility outside of Mexico City, which killed hundreds of people. In fact, hundreds, about 600 people were just missing, and nobody knows what happened to them. So it actually does have a significant degree of risk. On the other hand, no risk assessment has been done to date. They've been kicking that kind of need or discussion down the road. We feel that it needs to be done before a permit's issued, so that the folks who are issuing the permit can have all the information that they need to make a good decision. There's no doubt but what the LPG tankers that come up the bay will be a hazard for all users of the bay. The Coast Guard has reviewed a waterway suitability study that DCP submitted to them that didn't even consider recreational boats, fishermen, or other kinds of small craft in its discussion. The Coast Guard will, in fact, require an exclusion zone around the tanker as it moves up the bay. And other vessels are not to be within this exclusion zone as it moves. None of the permits issued to date limit the number of tankers that might someday move up and down, although they're suggesting that there won't be very many initially. There's no limit to the number that could be moving up and down, and every time they do, this exclusion zone moves with them. There's also, the Coast Guard also discussed what they refer to as zones of concern. I want to particularly draw your attention to this illustration, and if you don't mind, I will hand out a fact sheet that has that illustration to you, either now or in a moment. But these zones of concern, the Coast Guard understands to be the areas in which, if a tanker should breach or another have a mechanical problem and the LPG dissipates, would be severely affected. And it includes Rockland. And Rockland is identified by the Coast Guard as one of the areas of gravest concern. I think largely because of your population density here. So I think, you know, kind of trying to be brief here and get to the point, I guess, is that Route 1 would be impacted because of the trucks dispersing the LPG from Mack Point to all parts of Maine and probably New Brunswick as well. So Route 1 is going to see additional LPG truck traffic. The bay will see a kind of activity that is unprecedented today, that doesn't exist today, that has a threat, that is a threat to our users. And there are potential costs in trying to address these kinds of risks that this facility would impose on us all. So there is, you know, evidence of a tremendous risk. There are certainly potential costs in trying to deal with the safety issues associated with this, and there's no appreciable benefit to anybody. I just thought I'd quickly mention that about 40 years ago, I was hired by Sid Cullen and Ray Gross to work for the Courier-Gazette, and I lived here in Rockland for a while at that time. And it occurs to me how significantly Rockland has changed in the last 40 years. And changing the waterfront, the Farnsworth development, Main Street changes, are all very positive in my view anyway, and I think that probably you feel that same way. Rockland's a much more viable, I think, strong economy and community to live in today than it was 40 years ago. And my point is that was, as I saw it anyway, being somewhat outside of it, but I thought that was a change that was brought about by your decisions, by decisions of people who live in Rockland. You wanted something different than what existed 50 years ago, and you went about the process of doing that. This particular proposal, even though its setting is Searsport, is a game changer, and it could well be an image changer for Rockland, and yet it's being proposed by outside forces. It's a multinational corporation that's telling essentially all of us in the West Penobscot Bay what our future will be. What we believe is that you want a voice in that process. Thank you.
It keeps going lower with this microphone as we go. I'm Kim Tucker, and I first apologize to all of you for flooding your inboxes at your email with reams of paper, and I know I have done that. I, like the rest of our group, was not aware of the threat of this project until fairly recently. In January, I got a moveon.org petition solicitation, and I frankly thought, well, that can never happen. You know, there's so many regulators. That would never happen in an area as rural and pristine as we live in Penobscot Bay. But I was wrong, because by then, most of the permits that would be required to build this facility had already been obtained. And the reason we're asking you to weigh in on this is, I know, unprecedented. I know that we have asked you to do something unusual by sending a letter stating your concerns to another town about something that's a zoning issue. But this is unprecedented, what they're considering. It is an issue of regional impact, which, by the very nature of how they've set it up, they have thrown your dog into this fight. We're not asking you to interfere with what Searsport's doing. The fact is, we're bringing to your attention that Searsport has already committed your public safety resources through mutual aid in order to get this facility permitted by the federal government. But for the four letters that the Searsport public safety people sent into the Army Corps of Engineers, there may have been an environmental impact statement done under the National Environmental Policy Act, as we believe there should have been. But instead, because Searsport's police chief, fire chief, emergency manager, and ambulance director said, we have enough resources to handle this, and if we don't, we have mutual aid agreements, and all of them will come to our aid. So they have committed your public safety resources to this project without your consent, without your knowledge, and as a consequence of that, all of us are on the hook. So that's the first issue why we raise it. The second is, The Route 1 corridor is going to be significantly impacted by this facility. They're saying the average will be 66 tanker trucks a day going into this facility, traveling on the Route 1 corridor, carrying 10,000 pounds of pressurized propane each. Now, I don't know if you all noticed the other week, it was about 2 weeks ago, there was a bus accident on Route 3. And it closed down Route 3 for 7 hours because once they figured out that the truck that had hit the bus had run into a bus that had a propane tank for its fuel source, they had to shut down the road to wait for all of that propane to go out and vaporize and evaporate into the air so that there was not an ignition source presented to that propane. Can you imagine how long you'd have to wait for a 10,000-gallon pressurized propane tank to do the same on any of our roads here? So because these are going to be traveling on all of the Route 1 corridor roads, every town will have to have a foam truck because water doesn't put this out. You have to have foam. And there are very few foam trucks in the state. I know in Waldo County there's only three. So by mutual aid, you will be brought into this. And in the past, Searsport already has brought in all of the communities in the area. They had 70 firemen from 7 communities, including a foam truck and 4 firemen from South Portland last June when they had a fire in an empty fuel tank of fuel oil, which is not the explosive capacity this has. So the road issue, they're not even studying it right now in Searsport. So why do we want to weigh in? We want to tell them, you need to look at this as a regional impact. You need to look at the regional impact on Route 1 on all of us. Because if AAA or whatever tourist entities start telling people, you need to avoid this part of Maine if you're going to go to Bar Harbor, or maybe you should go to Bar Harbor, and there's alternative ways to get there. If they start doing that because people want to avoid these tanker trucks, one every 20 minutes, just on average, and up to 144 tanker trucks a day, which would essentially triple that number, that's a big concern. The other thing is, as the notes that you got from Steve point out, one of the largest zones of concern identified by the Coast Guard was Rockland, because these tankers will come so precipitously close to your harbor and disrupt your harbor traffic and your ferry traffic to Vinyl Haven and North Haven so substantially. Now, we know that our pilots that go up our bay are superior. It's not that we don't trust them to be driving safely, but it's still going to shut down that traffic at least 8 to 16 transits a year minimum. And there is no limit on the number of tankers they could ultimately have there. They talk about 8 tankers, 16 transits, you know, but they're not limited to that. And so this is going to profoundly impact all of us with that zone of exclusion in ways that we can't comprehend yet because we haven't had it disclosed to us yet. So it's not a lack of confidence in our first responders. It's because of our concern for them that we don't think that they should be subjected to a hazard for a product that we don't even need. We have a safer source in North America for LPG, and obviously the cheapest source, because our source is roughly $3.25 a gallon, and theirs is $3.75 a gallon. As you could tell from my emails, you get this. Now, we have a recommendation of a proposed resolution for you all to consider. And the bottom line we have is that we are a community. We are all interdependent upon each other, and that's why we are saying that Searsport needs to look at this as a community issue and not as a Searsport issue. And thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thank you all for. We will be talking about this at the beginning of agenda because of the suggestion you've given us. So please stay while that comes up. Anyone
thank
else
you very
wishing
much
to address the council? Yes.
I'm Randall Parr, and I have previously lived in Rockland, and I have a handout for each city councilor and one for the city manager. I support the Islesboro initiative because there has been, there is now no recourse for the challenge of this proposal by DCP. And Duke ConocoPhillips' 22.7 million gallon LPG tank is what I call a giga tank. The word giga means billion. That 22.7 million gallons of liquefied propane, once it warms up, turns into, expands by 250 times its capability. And I'd like to say that I have a bachelor's in chemistry from the University of New Hampshire, 1967, and I've never been challenged on that before recently in this debate in Searsport, and I have been challenged this year. So I wanted to just talk about a few facts about propane and why it's so dangerous. There are at least, I've identified 30 ways that a accident could happen. And it could happen not only at the tank in Searsport, but it also could happen at the tanker, and which I call a giga tanker, which will be going up and down Penobscot Bay, about 4 miles offshore, plus or minus, between Rockland and Vinyl Haven, North Haven. I have listed in this handout the possible scenarios that could create an explosion. And I'd like to point out that at a meeting I attended recently, the Searsport fire chief said that if propane caught fire, that he would just have to let it burn because it couldn't be put out. And then he resigned. And I'd like to say that it is possible, theoretically, to put out a propane fire of 5.6 billion gallons of propane, which, if you want to visualize that, it would be about 3 square miles of surface covered at a depth of 8 feet in a circle. And, of course, where the winds blow depend on where it goes, and most of that will be over Route 1, where there are many cars and trucks going up and down, and it would most likely catch fire. And if it catches fire, it would burn with the intensity of 549 kilotons of TNT, which is equivalent to 33 atomic bombs. Now, the atomic bomb in Hiroshima destroyed everything in a 1 mile radius, and it did substantial damage in a 3 mile radius. And right next to that is 56 million gallons of various kinds of flammable explosive fuels, including gasoline, kerosene, heating oil number 3, heating oil number 2, and diesel fuel. I did a little spreadsheet on that, and I can provide further information on that to you, but the total comes out on that to an equivalent of 1.9 million tons of TNT equivalent, which is equal to 122 atomic bombs. So if the LPG tank goes up in Searsport, it's going to blow up the tank farm, most likely, and that will blow up the entire Midcoast, okay? And I estimate there would be $20 billion worth of damage if the whole thing went up. But over and above that, you've got all these other threats, such as the tanker going up and down the coast and the trucks coming in and out. And you go online and just do a search on Google or YouTube for the word bleve. That's B-L-E-V-E. That's boiling liquid expanding vapor explosion. There are countless examples of them. And in terms of a tanker vessel blowing up, look at the Yo-Yo Maru, which happened in Tokyo. The Yo-Yo Maru carried about the equivalent amount, about 20 million gallons or so, or 60 million of liquid propane. And that it was rammed by another ship. And although it was double-hulled, it blew up. And the fire burned for 21 days. 21 days it took. And the only way they could put out the fire was to haul the ship out to sea. And, of course, it killed everybody on board. where they hauled it out to the middle of the Pacific Ocean, and then they bombed it with artillery and sank it. Otherwise, they wouldn't have been able to put out the fire. So, okay, another point. Propane fires burn with a temperature of 3,000 degrees Fahrenheit. That came out in the Coast Guard study. And part of the Coast Guard study was censored, so the public couldn't see it. But with a request from attorneys from Thanks But No Tank, the Freedom of Information Act, they were able to get that report, and they found that that information that was presented previously, and that this 3,000 degree Fahrenheit figure. That 3,000 degrees Fahrenheit, if you have a wood stove, you know that no matter how wet it is, your wood will burn if the stove is hot enough. Well, this will burn everything, no matter how wet it is. And Searsport is surrounded by forest. This whole area is forest and houses, all of which are flammable. And the State Department of Forestry is responsible for putting out that fire. Well, I don't think we have the resources and I to put that fire out. I think it would burn uncontrollably throughout the four-county area, and that would be a holocaust, a catastrophe, an annihilation of the whole Mid-Coast. Well, I could go further, but what else can I say? If anyone has any questions, please feel free to call me. I think we definitely, Rockland needs to join the other towns and say we need more study on this proposal, and also that there is an emergency management service requirement that the city will bear as a result of Searsport's action. And so let Searsport know that Rockland is concerned. That's all. There is absolutely nothing really, I would say, that Rockland can lose by writing a letter of that sort. So I request that you please do it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Would you give the clerk your address so that...
Absolutely.
Anyone else wishing to address the council? Yes, sir.
Hi. My name is Fred Morrill. I'm from St. George. And I hope that the city council will draft or send they like a letter that somebody else has written to send a copy and weigh in on this issue, because I agree that this project should not go forward. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Anyone else? If not, I will close the public comment session.